This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, let's do it on a Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Happy May 1st, 2025. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, and it is The Fan Evening Show. Alongside producer Jolie Nelson behind the glass here at our Greentree Studios, I'm Jack Hillgrove. Fired to be up with you tonight until 10:35, paving your way towards the nightly sports call simulcast on these airwaves. A lot going on. Obviously, the Penguins need a new head coach. We're going to talk about that much later on in the show. The Pittsburgh Steelers have wrapped up draft 2025. The attention now turns to rookie minicamp and the various offseason activities the team will do. We'll chat about the draft and those upcoming activities with Penn Live's Nick Faribault in the 8 o'clock hour. But we start with your Buccos, who drop one against the Chicago Cubs on Thursday afternoon to fall in the series before weekend home one against the Padres. Alex Stumpf of MLB.com will join the fray in about an hour. We'll go in depth with Alex about today, look ahead. But the fact of the matter is this. The Pirates are 32 games into the 2025 season. They just lost 8-3 today. And if you do the math, if you divide 32 over 162, it's like 0.19, whatever. You round up. The Pirates are a fifth of the way through the season. The Pirates have won 12 games. 12 times 5 is 60. This isn't Scott Steiner math, Jolie, but it's pretty darn close. The Pirates are on pace to win 60, 61 games, depending on how you look at the numbers. And that is obviously in year six of this regime with Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington, and with one of the best young arms in baseball at your disposal. That's the black and white numbers side of things. And it's not great. And we're going to take your phone calls in the next segment at 412-928-9370. But let's dive into today a little bit. Paul Skeens gets the start. He is now 3-3 on the season. 5 innings, 5 hits. Gave up 3 earned runs. Only struck out a pair. And I was listening on my way in to Andrew and Chris talk about Skeens' start today. And I was listening to Andrew and Jason Mackey go back and forth about it. And I think we're blowing the Paul Skeens start from today a little bit out of proportion. I think we're blowing the fact that Paul Skeens walked more guys than he struck out for the first time in his career a little bit out of proportion. The problem with today was not the fact that Paul Skeens had probably his worst career start. The problem with today is it proves that the Pirates need Paul Skeens to be Superman every 5 days for this team to have somewhat of a chance to win when he's on the hill. And that goes back to Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton not putting 9 adequate enough players out there behind Skeens or the rest of their starting pitchers. Paul Skeens is a tremendous talent. We, as Pittsburgh Pirates fans and Pittsburgh people and observers of the baseball team in town, all know that. The guy is going to have one hell of a career when it's all said and done. Probably with another team or two, but that's neither here nor there. And when you look back on Paul Skeens' career 20 years from now or whenever he hangs it up, I'm willing to bet we look back at Paul Skeens and say, man, that was one of the best pitchers of the early 21st century. I would put a large chunk of money on that right now. The fact that he, for the most part, sucked today at home is nothing to get super riled up about. I understand that the fastball velocity is down a tick or two from, you know, when he was blowing 101, 102 miles an hour past guys a year ago. And if I had to make a bet in that department, that's probably preservation based. Saving, obviously, that guy's arm. And Paul Skeens is good enough with his other stuff to where who cares if he's throwing 98, 99 instead of 101, 102. We saw that in his start out in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Great. Elite. Paul Skeens is still one of the elite starters in all of baseball. But the problem with the Pirates is they need him to be at the top of his game and among the elite every single time. And it's just not going to happen, folks. That is an incredibly unrealistic thing to demand from Paul Skeens. You look at Nolan Ryan and his illustrious career as a Major League Baseball pitcher. You know, if you ask a lot of people, 1973 statistically was probably his best season. Let's look at 1973 for Nolan Ryan. He pitched a third of an inning against the Chicago White Sox on May 11th and gave up 5 runs. In June, a start in which he gave up 6 runs against the Red Sox. 7 runs against those same White Sox. Another 6-run start against the Orioles in July. And again, Nolan Ryan is Nolan Ryan. You'd be absolutely thrilled if Paul Skeens can become Nolan Ryan, or any shred of that. And in 1973 with the Angels, Nolan Ryan finished the season as an all-star. 39 starts, mind you. That's back when those guys obviously pitched a ton. And had a 2.87 ERA for the whole season. How about the guy that has more Cy Youngs than anybody? Roger Clemens. 7 of them. 2 of which in 1986 and 1987, very early on in his career, right around the same age that Paul Skeens was. Back-to-back 20-win seasons, mind you. In 1986, we're just spitballing here. Back-to-back 5 earned run starts in May against the Angels and the Twins. 4 earned runs against the Blue Jays. 5 earned runs against the A's. That was in July. Let's go to August. A 5 earned run start. September. A 4 earned run start. Those are probably, you know, 4 or 5 earned run starts for Roger Clemens in a Cy Young year, mind you. Stinkers compared to all the rest. 1987 when he won another Cy Young. A 7 earned run start in June. 3 starts in a row in July. July 6, July 11, July 16. 4 earned, 5 earned. A pair of 5 earns in August. And that was pretty much that. Those are a lot of numbers. I understand that. And I know I'm just trying to prove my point. But I think for the most part, we can all agree that demanding, you know, 7 innings of 10 strikeout ball and, no earned runs time in and time out from Paul Skenes just is not a feasible task for anybody. And those seasons that I've mentioned, a pair of them for Roger Clemens and 1973 for Nolan Ryan, ended up in Cy Young years. So it means two things. Number one, I'm willing to bet a sizable amount of money that Paul Skenes is going to bounce back from a stinker today and continue to be in the conversation for National League Cy Young this year, no matter how good the Pirates are at the end of the season. And number two, it proves that the Pirates need him to be elite 100% of the time in order to win. And that's just not going to happen. Not even close to going to happen. Let's take a look at today's lineups. And I saw Pony tweet this out either last night or the night before. So I'll give him partial credit here because it's an interesting take. Henry Davis in the lineup today, hitting ninth, was a Ben Cherington draft pick. And that's pretty much it. So in year six of a regime with the Pittsburgh Pirates, we've got a draft, or we've got a situation with the Pirates lineups to where one guy is a Ben Cherington draft pick. And I apologize for the stutter there. I thought maybe Jared Triolo was, but he was selected in 2019. That was still Neil Huntington. Adam Frazier, Neil Huntington. Alex Canario, quad A player, not originally brought up in this regime. Same said for Key Brian Hayes, obviously Andrew McCutchen, Brian Reynolds, and O'Neill Cruz. And then Emmanuel Valdez is a off-the-scrap heap kind of pickup in the offseason. So again, in a year six with Shelton and Cherington, in which a fifth of the way through the year, one guy, maybe two, even with a healthy Nick Gonzalez, he's the, you know, that adds maybe a second or a third name in the Pirates lineup that was drafted by this regime. So in year six of a Ben Cherington regime and a Derek Shelton managing regime, the offense stinks. You're 12-20 through the first 32. You're on pace for 60 or 61 wins. And you're relying on Paul Skenes to be Superman, which I just explained is incredibly unrealistic in a lineup in which over two-thirds of the players in your lineup were not drafted and not developed in the 6 years you've taken over. I apologize if that sounds incredibly depressing when it comes to the Pirates, but it's the truth. The problem was not Paul Skenes having a stinker today. The problem was they rely on him to be elite 100% of the time, and it's unrealistic. And the offense that's relying on him to be elite is not developed in 6 years by this current regime. 412-928-9370. That is the phone number to chime in on the conversation. A couple of you are already on hold. We'll get into your calls the next segment. I want to hear from you about this Pirates team. 12-20 through the first 32. On pace for 60 or 61. Has your thoughts changed on this team since opening day? Mine haven't, because the first 32, for a large part, are a hilarious reflection of the back half of 2024. It's also the number of the Fan Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll read some of those as the night goes along as well. Alex Stumpf from MLB.com will join the fray at the top of the next hour to break down this one, to break down the first 32, and looking ahead to this weekend for the Pirates. Steelers talk in the 8 o'clock hour with Nick Faribault, and we'll get into the Penguins. And the phone lines, of course, are wide open for a majority of the show, as they always are when I grace the airwaves, and all topics are on the table. Joel Nelson is producing. My name is Jack Hillgrove. Thanks for being along for us on the Fan Evening Show. Happy May. on Sports Radio 93.7.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A gem going on right now on Sportsnet Pittsburgh. Throwback to May 25, 2008. Pirates and Cubs, two out, bottom nine. Pirates down 5-4. Nate McLouth hits a can of corn to left field, and Alfonso Soriano had trouble with the sun. Can't catch it. Run scores. Pirates would eventually walk it off in extras. Jolie, your first Bucco game, correct?
That's correct, Jack.
Pretty darn cool. Paul Mahalem, eight innings in this one. Struck out seven. He eats innings for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All right, my name's Jack Kilgrove with you until 10:35 tonight. That game in 08, the Pirates won. Pirates played the Cubs today and lost. They are 12-20. And let's react to it at 412-928-9370. Troy in Mount Washington's been patient, and now he's on the fan. What's up, Troy? How are you?
Jack, what's up, brother?
Not too much. How about yourself?
Oh, another day. I want to comment really quickly on Skeens and then give you a Steelers scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question.
Go for it.
So what you were saying on Skeens and kind of comparing him to older greats that had bad outings when they were out and not overreacting. So I personally believe that Paul Skeens has been the most overhyped athlete after 1 year in Pittsburgh sports history. You have Lemieux, you have Crosby, you have Big Ben going 15-1. I think that we, as Pittsburgh sports, have set a standard for this guy above any standard that we've ever set for our greats that have been in Pittsburgh. And the only difference that I see with these guys that you're mentioning, with them having bad outings, is they have a team to pick them up. And they don't get down on themselves. You know how mentally a pitcher that can really affect you. If they're going out and they're having outings where maybe he gives up four runs, they're still winning those games sometimes. When Paul Skeens go out and he gives up four runs, he knows it's over. So I worry a little bit more on the mental side of what this is doing to Skeens and how it could affect his career.
I don't worry about what it's doing to Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is one of one out there for the most part, and if his offense behind him can't pick him up, that obviously stinks for the Pirates not being able to win a game, but it doesn't change the fact that, if Paul Skeens goes seven and gives up one run and the Pirates lose 1-0, he can still look back on that and say, well, I still pitched pretty well. The offense just didn't do its job.
I'm not necessarily talking about Skeens' good outings. I'm talking about if Skeens were to come and give you two or three mediocre to bad outings in a row, and, you know, his team never picks him up in those outings. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid when he goes out and, you know, strikes out nine and gives up one or two runs. I don't think that's going to affect him mentally. But let me ask you this Steelers scenario real quick.
Yep.
We have a losing record. We're either playing Aaron Rodgers or Mason. We get into the last 4 weeks of the season. We start, Will, he goes 4-0. Do you draft a quarterback if you're in the 10 to 15 range the next year, or do you give Will the shot?
I think you draft a quarterback regardless. I think the Steelers are gearing up for that. And Troy, thanks for the call. You know, Will Howard is a sixth round pick, and you know, Tom Brady needed to earn those opportunities. And you look back at, you know, what Mason Rudolph was able to do. He won 3 in a row going into a playoff game a couple of years ago, and he was not brought back to the Steelers. So I think regardless if Will Howard, you know, takes over in week 2 and has a Ben-like rookie season, yeah, then they're probably not going to draft a quarterback. But that late in the season, if he's in there just because they might be out of a playoff race, they're still probably going to be in a spot to draft a quarterback in 2026. Tony's in Greensburg. Now he's on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Jack. Good job as always.
Thank you.
I'm just going to talk about the Pirates' mismanagement, man. It just frustrates me. I mean, you have got a city like Pittsburgh that is such a strong baseball city with the history of this team, and fans come out and it's just the mismanagement over and over. Like, you know, you look at the some guys that we didn't sign in the offseason, you know, like a guy like the catcher for the Cubs, you know, maybe give Joey Bart, you know, him half the games, you know, the production at the plate from him. You paid him nothing from Chicago to bring him in, you know, like the stuff with the Clemente Wall and just bringing in guys like Tommy Pham when, you know, this is supposed to be the time in the process. What is it, 6 years in now with Shelton and the GM now, like, this is when we're supposed to be winning, and when we're still going backwards, there's just no development, no progress. I mean, yeah, I'm just tired of waiting for them to make signings like they did with McCutchen and Marte and those guys to make a run when they were got good. You know, like, we just need to – I'm tired of bringing in these older guys that are at the end of their career that we think we can get production out of, but we never get. You know, just the mismanagement with Shelton, the pitching staff, like, waiting on bringing guys up like Chandler and them when you have a strong staff and add to that staff with guys like him. I'm just tired of the mismanagement around here.
No, I'm with you, Tony, and thanks for the call. I actually was at the game today. Thursday is usually one of my off days from Channel 9 in Steubenville, so I was off all day, day game, decided to head down to the North Shore, take in the game with a buddy, and then came up here for my radio duties. And I couldn't help but think, the entire time I was there, just about how beautiful PNC Park is. And you see, you know, them play hype videos before the first pitch and the fans are in the stands. And obviously, you know, they edit that to a way that, you know, it looks like PNC Park is like that all the time. But PNC Park in Pittsburgh baseball is such a deeply rooted fandom. And I think that's why people like Tony, who just called in, are so frustrated. And if you want to let me know, call or text if I'm out of line here, let me know at 412-928-9370. I think the frustrations with the Pirates and the way that people in Pittsburgh care about the Pirates is unique for a couple of reasons. Number one, obviously the Pirates have been a lot around longer, and baseball has just been around longer than the other professional sports leagues in town, with the NFL and the NHL. And number two, the Pirates were the first professional sports team in this town to be competitive and relevant. Say what you want about the World Series in 1909 and 1925, but they won them. And then they won a World Series in 60 and 71. That's four world championships before the Steelers became incredibly relevant, before Pitt football won a national championship. Pitt football in the early 70s before John Majors was horrible. The basketball program, you know, that's pre-Billy Knight, same thing. the Penguins obviously didn't become who they were until number 66 was drafted by the organization. And the Steelers in that 74 draft class kind of springboarded things into the Steelers of the 70s. So for the most part, the Pirates were the first team in this town to become ultra competitive in their respective league, and they've been around a lot longer. So there's more generations behind the Pirates than maybe sometimes there are with the Steelers, if that makes sense. And because the Pirates have been around a lot longer, the Pirates have been less competitive for a lot longer than maybe the other two franchises have been. And maybe that's why there are so many frustrated Pirates fans there. It's a unique fandom. It's a unique love, and it's a unique frustration, the way I see it when it comes to the Pirates and the way the people in the city view them. If you agree or disagree, I'd love to hear you at 412-928-9370. The second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union will take place on June 5th and June 6th. This year, the broadcast will take place at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You can donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in our area. It's brought to you by Charles Leach Insurance, Firehouse Subs, True Fan Travel, People's Natural Gas, and Lewis Anthony Jewelers. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. Phone calls are still wide open on the Pirates today at 412-928-9370. The biggest problem with them is that Paul Skeens can't be Superman every 5 days. And even when he is at the top of his game, we've seen time and time again, the Pirates have still lost and have failed to support Paul Skeens from an offensive standpoint. The fact that Paul Skeens gave up 3 consecutive home runs in the 5th inning and fell behind in counts and walked more guys than he struck out for the first time in his big league career is not the issue. Paul Skeens will bounce back. And for our guy Troy in Mount Washington to say that he's overhyped, I am the most overhyped athlete in Pittsburgh history, I wholeheartedly disagree. Skeens has earned that hype and backed it up. He earned that hype leading LSU to a College World Series in being drafted number one overall. And unlike Henry Davis, who was drafted number one overall and we're still waiting to turn the corner, Paul Skeens won Rookie of the Year and is a NL Cy Young candidate, a legitimate one and a favorite, depending on what sports book you look at. Odds might have changed today after the stinker, but still, he's up there. So the problem is not Paul Skeens. I assure you he will bounce back. The problem is that this offense is relying on him to be Superman every 5 days, and that's an unreasonable ask. And the other problem with the offense is that you're in year 6 of a Charrington Shelton regime, and only one guy today in your batting order was drafted by this regime. And it would only be 2 if Nick Gonzalez were healthy. Yikes. In capital letters. 412-928-9370. Going to run to a break. But before that, Andy's in Squirrel Hill. Thanks for calling, Andy. What's up?
I just stole my thunder. I apologize. No, that's okay. That's fine. But we can holler all we want about money spent and money not spent. But I can tell you, Sean Guillen, Milt May, Bob Robertson, Rennie Stennett, Dave Cash, Gene Kleins, Richie Hebner, Bill Mazeroski, and on of players that were developed and turned into champions for, what, maybe eight years that 70 had a run, and they were all players that were developed by the Pirates.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy, I mean, obviously it sounds like you're a little bit older than I am, but I remember 2013, and you look at that playoff run, Justin Morneau and Marlon Byrd for the most part, and then a couple of guys in the rotation were the only external options added to that playoff team. McCutchen was developed in-house. Starling Marte, Pedro Alvarez, Garrett Cole in that pitching rotation.
Hate to say it, I remember the 60s Pirate team. I was 12 years old. they did have the big trade of Frank Thomas, and that's another thing. Nobody wants to pull the trigger. Joe Brown pulled the trigger. He took Frank Thomas, who was an awfully popular player, and hit a lot of home runs, 35 to be exact, and trades him off. and winds up with three players that helped them win the pennant in the World Series. And nobody wants to do that, I don't think, although we don't have anybody really to trade to do that and make that happen. But even the Pirates in the 60s, it was mostly friend and law and face. The core of that team was still Pittsburgh grown, and I'm not counting Clemente because we drafted him from the the Brooklyn organization. I'm not counting Bill Verdon because he was a trade way back in the mid-50s. But Bob Skinner, they were all Dick Stewart.
Yeah, the point of it, Andy, is, and thanks for the call, that they wouldn't have been that good if they didn't develop the amount of guys that he listed. And the same can be said for a majority of professional sports teams, period, no matter the league. And I didn't mean to steal his thunder at the beginning of the call, but again, one guy in that lineup today was drafted by Ben Cherington in this regime. We're in year six, folks, and they're 12 and 20. All right. Got to run to a break. Coming up at the top of the hour, Alex Stump of MLB.com, and we're going to continue to take your calls on the Pirates through 8 o'clock, actually up until 8 o'clock when Nick Faribault of PennLive.com joins to talk about the Steelers. So the phone lines are wide open at 412-928-9370. Bucks are on pace to win 60 or 61. How's that make you feel? We're on the air until 10:35 tonight. Nightly sports call from 10:35 until 11 on The Fan. I'm Jack Hillgrove taking you up until then on The Fan Evening Show.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All righty, we're moving along, ladies and gents, boys and girls. It's the Fan Evening Show. My name is Jack Hillgrove. Three segments in, we're 2 for 3 on Motley Crue music beds, which after going to PNC Park and watching the Pirates stink up the joint today, that'll liven things back up a little bit. Sidemark here, the YouTube live stream is not active on the weekends when I host, like on Sunday mornings, and I haven't been on a Thursday night or a weeknight in a while. So it's nice to go back and look at the YouTube comments. And this is just, again, total sidebar here. One of the things I love about Pittsburgh is it goes into a comment here. Somebody commented and said, is this Pittsburgh's The Fan? Replied, yes, it is. Guy replies, my bad. I should have known by the area code. I love the fact that UC412, you know Pittsburgh. And the phone number, 928-9370, is in the bottom right corner of the screen. The fact that 412 is so synonymous with this city, I think is very, very cool. One of the very cool, many cool things I love about our town. One of the things I don't love about our town is that the baseball team stinks. They're on pace to win 60 games this year, 12-20 through the first 32, and it's not looking much better. So we could react to it at 412-928-9370. Lost to the Cubbies today, makes them 12-20. Caller from Chicago, TS, joining the fold. Hello, good sir. How are you?
Jack, how you doing, Jack? I have this desire to call you Jack Brickhouse. You know who that is, right?
No. What was the last name?
Brickhouse. Jack Brickhouse was a famous Cubs broadcaster and White Sox broadcaster many years ago.
I am unfamiliar. I apologize.
I digress. So here's my thing. I get why you guys at the station have to kind of get pumped up and stuff about the Pirates. But the fans, this is the way I see it now, and I'm an older guy. You know, I used to get aggravated and frustrated and curse and all the stuff at the radio or the TV. But the thing is, a guy like Bob Nutbag thinks of the Pirates, the team, is much ado about nothing. He doesn't care. I mean, aside from the bobblehead thing and the bricks, okay, PR thing. But does he really care? No. Because if he did, he would have the right staff in place on the field and up in the whatever you call it, the stands or whatever, wherever those guys sit. And this would have happened a long time ago. And the same was true of Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle for the most part.
Yeah, but TS, and thanks for the call. I mean, they were able to figure it out in that regime. And by year 6 of Huntington and Hurdle, that was 2013. And I'm not going to, you know, defend ownership one iota. Don't get me wrong. I have as much problems in that department of the organization as many of you out there listening. But it's just, to me, it is a dead-end conversation, spending, spending, spending. And it is the root of a lot of the Pirates' problems, yes. But there's only so much to dive into when it comes to that side of things. And the one thing that I will give Bob Nutting credit for is that he was responsible for the hiring of Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington, and it worked for 3 years. I will give Bob Nutting credit for 2013 to 2015 because he put the GM and the GM put the manager in place. And I've said this on these airwaves before. If this regime does come to an end at the conclusion or at some point during the 2025 season, if you've got a new GM and a new manager in 2026, and that regime continues to fail, then that's just another notch in the Nutting belt that we as fans can complain about. Bob in the car is on the Fan. What's up, Bob? How are you?
All right, how are you?
Not too bad.
As far as Pirates, listen, I'm not that invested that I'm in hockey and football. But, you know, I love them to win. But I remember Parcells said something a long time ago. He was a coach, and he was telling the ownership, hey, if you want me to cook, at least let me shop for the ingredients. And as long as you say, you know, it's like a dead horse. I agree with you. But bottom line, if the owner doesn't provide prayers, basically, this is, like you said, it's moot point. That's for Pirates. As far as Steelers,
yep.
Something interesting I want to tell you. I saw the game, basically, Ohio State, and I don't know, and they won. And I was wishing, because I didn't know what Bill Howard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at this guy, and he's just bringing me like a almost, you know, Roethlisberger to a certain point, you know, because big guy, and he can pass, and he can run away from situations. And I just wished. But I knew, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know this guy's the first round or second round or whatever. Well, I really did not know. It was very, surprising, as positive surprising, because I really think this guy has in him to be great, you know? So I'm a little bit optimistic about our quarterback situation. And as far as the other thing, look, offense, we got all kind of bazookas and this and that, because you got those two stars, and then the rest of them, they're not that bad. And tight end is fine, and we got the, you know, quarterback to handle the other one. So I feel like with the Mason, we have a chance. I don't know if that three runs that he did was miracle, or it was George Pickens, or
right.
It was what we thought he was. And, you know, Pickens doesn't fumble on that Buffalo game. They lost 21 points. Usually these games, when they go to playoffs, the first 5 minutes are so important, and our coach, unfortunately, never have them ready for that. So the situation that I'm seeing is not bad.
I hear you. I hear you, Bob, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's definitely a glass-half-full approach to the quarterback situation for the Steelers, and we'll get into that more in the 8 o'clock hour with Nick Faribault. I want Will Howard to be great. I mean, I have almost fallen in love with the guy the last week or so, seeing everything post-draft and hearing him, you know, talk to the media on the phone and stuff. And, observing him from an Ohio State perspective a year ago, I think it'd be really cool if Will Howard panned out from a franchise quarterback standpoint, but obviously a lot to be determined in that regard. 50-minute mark on the Fan, few minutes past it. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township. One more before the break. It's Mark in Munhall. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Jack. Don't hear you on here too much, but I always enjoy whenever you're on.
Thanks, man.
Just a couple of things. Kind of first thing, just going back to Skeens and his start today and really just his season, they called him up like, I think it was the second weekend in May last year.
Yeah, so we're really actually coming up on the 1 year anniversary of that, May 11th, I think.
Exactly. So it's like, this is really just his first full year, if you want to wrap it around, in the big. So it's like, have I been thrilled with what I've seen from him so far this year? No, but I'm not too concerned. I mean, as far as the team goes, like, I think Skeen's performances are lower on the list of concerns that I have whenever the team just building in construction is probably number one. But it goes back to, even, which I don't even want to say that it's a bad move drafting Skeens, but how you were saying, you know, he only plays every fifth day, and even if they've won every single one of his starts this year, they'd still be a team on, like, I think they'd be like 3 or 4 games below 500. So it's tough whenever he's being asked so much, and he can only do so much.
And Mark, do you remember, I mean, I feel like, and I wasn't backing it on air capacity yet with the Fan, but I listened to it relatively, it seemed like the big time discussion about, is it going to be Skeens or Cruz for number one overall? Because the big argument was, well, if you go with Skeens, he's only available once every 5 days.
Yep, exactly. And with a team with so many holes in the lineup, like, they've obviously are struggling offensively. Not that Dylan Cruz has been good, don't get me wrong, but you hate to kind of squint your eyes and say, well, maybe if we had this guy, things would be a little different, but you do. And then just the other thing, how you were going back to Pirates fandom just as a whole, I know, like, I was born in 93, so growing up, you know, like, my parents weren't the most wealthy, let's say. And, you know, it's tough going to Pens games or Steelers games. But
oh, big
Pirates,
time.
I mean, to their detriment, were never the greatest. So, you know, for a family of four to go to a Pirates game, like, I would be at Pirates games all the time with my parents as a kid. So just growing up, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who, like, attended games at Three Rivers, and then obviously since PNC has been there way more than any Steelers or Penguins games. So I've always felt more of an allegiance to the Pirates just because basically my whole life. So, yeah, that's why I get frustrated with them more so than any other team. But, yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And that's a good way to look at it as well when you talk about Pirates fandom and look at it through that lens. All righty, 1 hour down, 3 and change to go. We're taking you up until 10:35 tonight, Nightly Sports Call on these airwaves, also on KDKA Plus on the TV side of things. Coming up at the top of the hour in about 5-6 minutes or so, Alex Stumpf, MLB.com. We'll break down the Cubs series. We'll look ahead for the Buccos with Alex. And then the phones are still open at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove. This is the Fan Evening Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.